Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Clare FM, the IBI, and funded by Cumashna Man with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Welcome to another episode of Ours to Protect on Clare FM. Nearly half of all bird species in Ireland have been found to be in decline, with many populations severely depleted. One in eight bird species globally is currently threatened with extinction. These figures paint a stark and most concerning picture of the future of avian species and, by extension, all life on Earth. These young school children are concerned about the future of our bird populations and the impact climate change is having on them.
Are we using bird species to climate change?
Are native bird populations in Ireland under threat?
Is it true that half the world's bird species are in decline?
Why are birds so important to biodiversity?
Can birds adapt to climate change?
Birdwatch Ireland is the largest independent conservation organisation in the country. The primary objective of the group is the protection of wild birds and their habitats. Birdwatch Ireland carries out extensive scientific research and survey work into our bird populations. The group and its many branches also manage conservation projects and a network of reserves nationwide. The Clare branch is one of the busiest in the country and was co-founded by ornithologist John Murphy back in 1990. Since then, John has seen a marked decline in bird species in Ireland, much of which has been caused by climate change.
I first started birding in the middle of 1970s, and we were doing surveys then, common bird census surveys, surveys for the British Trust for Ornithology and Irish Wild Bird Conservancy at the time. Since those days in the mid-1970s to the early 80s, all species of birds in this county and Ireland have dropped by at least 40%, if not more in some cases. We've lost a few species, the corncrakes have gone. We've lost corn bunting, which were here when I first started bird watching. We're on the verge of losing birds like tree sparrows, white-fronted geese that came here in three huge flocks to West Clare, Mid Clare and East Clare are now down to six birds. And maybe that's six birds in West Clare and maybe up to 40 birds in the Burren area. Those white-fronted geese have just vanished. We've seen huge declines in farmland birds especially, because skylarks, meadow pipits, yellow hammers, everything like that, you've just seen massive drops, unfortunately, in those species over the last 40 years at least anyway.
Do we know why that is?
Well, there are huge reasons for these drop in numbers. The way we live nowadays, global warming is having an effect. We're certainly seeing species that overwinter in Africa and come back here for the summertime to breed. Simple things like the swallow numbers have dropped off, gone completely. Little birds like willow warblers have dropped off completely. They're down to changes in climate, changes in the wintering grounds where they go to, changes here in summertime when they come back to breed. For instance, nowadays swallow numbers are very, very low. And this summer again, the numbers look good at the start of the season, but I've just noticed in the last few weeks that the breeding population is quite low. One of the reasons for that, you know, in the old days, people had open barns and sheds, never locked up their doors. Swallows were coming and going when hay was being stacked, and, you know, it was a different time, and meadows would have been, you know, cut for hay meadows and that. Nowadays, you go around the country, and this is all for security reasons, people completely lock up their barns and old sheds to stop anyone going in, robbing stuff and breaking in and just nosing around in general. And that's a simple thing that's happened with the swallows. I'm not saying that's the main reason they're not here anymore, but that's one of the things where we find that swallow numbers just don't have the availability of nesting locations like they had in the past.
Well, there's always great excitement during the summer, and particularly when the migratory birds did come to Ireland.
Absolutely. I remember a time, Pat, at the end of March every year, a little bird called a willow warbler would come back to Ireland in springtime, and you'd hear them everywhere in the countryside. I mean, willow warblers were, to me, were the sound of the start of the summer, not even the first swallow, but a willow warbler. And nowadays, willow warbler numbers have just completely crashed. Numbers are very low this year again. There haven't been, the season started okay, and then all of a sudden, because of the warm weather we had this spring, April and May were quite warm, you know, there's lovely sunny weather at the time. But the numbers just dropped off since, and I don't know what's happening with those willow warbler numbers. They're certainly down by 40 or 50%, and they're not making a recovery, you know, they're just not happening.
What other birds would you have seen in the early days, or even up to recent years, that we don't see nowadays?
Birds like curlews that overwinter here, Pat, and they'll go off, they used to nest in bogs in Ireland. Curlews now nest mainly in Scotland and that part of the world. So our curlews that we have here in the wintertime are coming from Scotland. We know this from ringing records. Birds have been ringed as chicks on the nest in Scotland, come here for the winter. Nowadays, our own population is completely gone. Every county that might have had maybe 40, 50, 60, 100 pairs of curlew, you'd be looking at one in every county, or two. Some counties have two maybe. Again, that species that would have been here traditionally over the years themselves, and snipe, for instance, they've just vanished from the countryside, completely gone. And again, that's a very obvious change. You know, we get flocks coming down from this month, June, July onwards from Scotland. The males come back first. They've been on the breeding grounds with the partner, the female. When the female are feeding the chicks and the chicks are walking around the bog and the grassy fields or the meadows, whatever, the males tend to leave first to come back here. That would have normally traditionally happened in, say, July. Now we're seeing the males coming back right now, the end of June. And then the females will follow on later with the juveniles. They'll show the juveniles how to come down here to County Clare and parts of the west of Ireland, the River Shannon, wherever, those areas, to spend the winter, and then bring them back in spring to where they nest in Scotland or wherever. Those numbers have plummeted. And trying to make attempts to bring those species back is very, very hard, because you've a lot of habitat restoration to do. You've a lot of work to do to try and get those numbers back to where they were. I don't think we'll ever see that day, to be honest with you, Pat. I think that day, time is gone now at this stage.
How big a part of your work are surveys?
We spend 6-7 days a week nearly, we could be doing surveys. Over the years, the surveys that have taken place throughout the whole country would cover all of the species we have here, from seabirds to land birds to wading birds. So we see every day populations of bird species throughout the country, whether it be in farmlands or in woodlands, like we're here today in the woodlands. You know, so we see the changes daily of bird species throughout the country.
And is there a quiet time of the year, because we're here in Wuhan and very few birds around? Is that unusual?
Yeah, you're now at the middle and the height of the summer. We've just had the longest day of the year gone by there. We've gone through what we call the first breeding cycle phase, which is early in the spring, early summer. Right now, what we'd normally see in the past would be the second breeding phase in early July, where a lot of the birds, local birds, and say the migrant birds that come back from Africa, like sedge warblers and black caps and white throats, would now be going into their second breeding cycle and have second broods. I think the whole cycle is out of sync, Pat, because we're now seeing much earlier springs as well. You know, this year, last year, April, we get weather in April that we normally would have got in May. We're now getting in June weather that we'd normally see, you know, maybe in July. Irish weather can be very wet and windy in July sometimes, but normally at this time of the year you're getting your second phase of breeding, and the breeding cycle of birds that have come back from Africa will be onto second broods. Probably some swallows have started if they can get into the nesting sites. Black caps have certainly done very, very well here, and the black caps are singing again at the moment. This morning they were in full song. Your local blackbirds and song thrushes have all gone quiet. They've probably had a second brood already and now they're finished. So the seasons have moved on. We're not seeing the cyclical thing of birds breeding in July has certainly passed, and that's happened earlier every year with the early breeding season as well, you know.
Bird surveys, hugely important, but the public can also play their part in surveys.
They can, of course. Birdwatch Ireland every year do a garden, common garden bird survey throughout the winter. When people are feeding their birds, they can get a chart and get a table and tick off the species that are actually visiting their bird table in the back garden. It's a great way to get involved. You know, not everyone's going to be doing what myself and my colleagues are doing. We're outside doing field work every day, and we're full-time ornithologists, but at least the public are encouraged to take note and have a look at what birds are in their neighbourhood and in their gardens. So by feeding the birds come October onwards, you can see a build-up of birds coming through your gardens over the winter time to feed in your back gardens. And looking out the back window, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't need binoculars, they land in front of you. And nowadays, so many people have cameras either on their phone or small digital cameras, and they get brilliant photographs of birds coming to their bird feeders. So if you ever have a bird that you can't identify or recognise, send it to the Clare Branch of Birdwatch Ireland or Birds of Ireland in general, and they will let you know what you have on your bird feeders. We've seen a couple of new species come back to Ireland, Pat. Take the great spotted woodpecker, for instance. They were gone from the country here for hundreds of years. I know in the Alloway Caves there were bones of great spotted woodpeckers found there with the bears and everything else when they were excavated. Great spotted woodpeckers came back into Ireland about 20 years ago, and now in Clare here we're seeing a complete influx from the east of the county spreading westwards. So they've come from the east, they're spreading west, they're in central Clare. We've had a few in West Clare. West Clare obviously doesn't have a huge amount of trees, and trees are important to them. But right now we have actually identified, I think it's 14 nest sites of woodpeckers in Clare, and they first started turning up at bird tables where people could see them in the wintertime coming to eat suet and peanuts at bird feeders. That's one species that has now been picked up by people in their gardens and is now spreading around the country and county here, you know.
It's clear that climate change is having an effect on where birds go, where they stay. What small things can we do to maybe try and reverse the issue?
It only takes small steps, Pat. We're only a small island in the west of Europe. You know, if we did our little bit to help, that's all we need to do. Simple little measures in your garden to start reversing what's actually happened is a great way forward. Okay, we have people here living in the countryside. 5% of the country are our farming community. People living in the countryside, and then we have people living in the towns and cities and small villages. And I always say, like, if you take the towns, for instance, inside in the town, you'll notice nowadays a lot of people are stoning their back gardens. They're putting on fake grass. There's not a bush to be seen. Bare walls. I always say to, when I do the schools and go to the schools, there's one thing you put in your back garden, and this is for everybody, one apple tree. One apple tree will make a massive difference. One apple tree in springtime will help the bees come and pollinate and get nectar. And if you have one in your garden, I have one in my garden next door, it'll move from garden to garden to garden. And at the end of the summer, you get fruit and apple for your kids to have and eat. All apples don't come from shops. They should come from your back garden. Simple things, or a pear tree, or a little cherry tree, or whatever, you know, or plum tree. They're the simple little things you can do. And then the other thing is the grass. People put down fake grass. Looks great. You have a dog, children playing it. That's fine. But by taking grass out of your garden, it's taking a huge amount of insects out. It's taking a huge amount of biodiversity from your garden. And then people with big lawns, what you see nowadays are a lot of people, like, it's changed a bit, no mowing in May kind of thing, but people still like to have these pristine lawns that are good for nothing. They're deserts for any biodiversity. Nothing can live on them because they're cropped to an inch of their life, the grasses, and they just look good. And that, I think that day should be long gone, you know. I have friends who have gardens in towns and maybe half quarter acre up the front of the house, and they leave the meadow grow and they cut a walkway through it, and it's fantastic for your kids to walk through a little tall meadow grass and see the butterflies and the bees. You feel like you're in another world when you're walking through long grasses with natural flowers and seed heads that the birds can feed on and everything else can feed on. There are simple little measures we can do and take to help start reversing what we're seeing. You see people up in the corners of the house, the apex of the house, house martins will nest there, and they cut down the nests and they chop them down because a little bit of staining of poo on the wall appears during the summer. Those house martins travel all the way to Africa, come here for the summer, nest, go back to Africa. They're only here for a couple of weeks.
Knocking down those habitats, even if they're only temporary, is there any legislation or rules covering that?
Well, you're not supposed to interfere with birds during the bird nesting season, and that's one thing that we see in this country people doing the whole time. I don't cut my beech hedges till August. I see people in the last month, June, early June, cutting back their hedges. Birds still nesting inside. They're exposing the nests in the hedgerow so that other species like magpies will see them and come and raid them, or a crow or whatever. Like, there's things, simple things you can do. Just leave it run for a couple of weeks. The world's not going to end if you don't cut your hedges in June or July. Leave it till August, and then you can cut away all you like, because at that stage everything's gone, the breeding season is over. And you must remember, a lot of the insects that are in that hedge are food and fodder for not just birds but bats and everything else, and that hedgerow holds a lot of hidden things in there that you don't see and I don't see, but the birds will depend on that, and some of the bats will depend on that food source in there, you know. So, like, the simple little changes, Pat, we can make here. When you look at all the small birds, say from robins and chaffinches and little house sparrows and all that, their lifespan is quite short. You know, robins won't live any more than 5 years. It's an exception if they live 10 or 12 years. Likewise, the sparrows, all the small birds, they just don't live that long. So they'll return to any suitable habitat the following year. Might not be the same hedgerow, but they'll generally come back to the same location. My robins in my garden, for instance, they breed in a couple of locations. They breed in the ivy in the back wall in the courtyard. They breed out in the hedge. So they'll move around a bit. Anywhere they find suitable, they'll use. They normally move around every year to a slightly different location. But once once you have the hedging there and it's not cut down, they'll be back to use that hedgerow, you know. They will come back and they'll be in your garden all winter when you're feeding them. Like I said, from October onwards, if you're feeding the birds, which is the time of year to do it, don't feed during the summer, they'll be there because during the winter when they need the food source and it's quite scarce, then they'll stay right through into the springtime. And that's when they'll nest back in your garden again.
Climate change is already affecting birds and their habitats.
Climate change is an ongoing and worsening threat to birds.
Extreme weather events can have long-term implications for our bird populations.
Rising sea levels can also seriously affect bird populations.
We must end the use of fossil fuels in order to keep temperature below 1.5 degrees of warming.
While we need to develop renewable energy sources, they can threaten birds and habitats, which must be minimised.
There you heard pupils from CBS Primary School in Ennis and ornithologist John Murphy. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Ours to Protect.